Welcome to Mom Friends. We are two longtime friends, Laura, who is a pregnancy and postpartum doula and mom of two,
and Raimi, who is a first-time mom-to-be, and we both get together to discuss the journey from preconception through pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond.
Join us for weekly raw conversations and relatable struggles on how this life-changing event impacts all areas of our lives.
Let's begin. Hello, welcome back to Mom Friends. Today we have a special pregnancy Q&A with Nate and Remy. Hello, Remy.
Remy and then Remy.
Well, I do my best.
Yes, you do. Hello, hello. We've got Nate with us today, which it's his second time being on, and we're really excited to jump right in.
Yes, so now you are 24 weeks?
I'm 23 weeks right now.
23 weeks. I know it's hard to keep track.
It is. Now it's going by so fast that
I know.
I can't keep track. Like, I'll forget. The weeks go so fast.
And you're busy. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm busy.
It is the perfect time to do an update on some pregnancy questions, as well as bring Nate back, who joined us through preconception and IVF infertility trying to conceive. So we'll definitely cover different topics on his perspective, which is always nice to hear.
Yeah. And it always takes him a moment to like warm up to the questions. Mm-hmm. So, but he did great. So
That's great.
Yes. Yeah. So let's just jump right in.
So we have Nate here with us and we're very excited to start asking the questions. So without further ado, let's jump in. So first question is for you, Nate. Have you always wanted kids?
Well, it was never really something I considered until I'd met Raimi, especially with my testicular trauma history. It just wasn't something I ever considered.
You just didn't know if you could have kids.
Well, it was that, but then also I didn't have my life together at all. You know, obviously there was a lot of changes that needed to happen in our life before we were ready to, you know, bring a kid into the world. And so, you know, we started making all those changes and getting all that set up. And it wasn't really a very quick process, but here we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made you definitely work even harder.
Right.
So how did you feel since you did IVF? How did you feel about ability to choose the gender? Did you have a preference at first?
Well, at first, we both thought we wanted to have a boy first. And so, you know, obviously the privilege of choosing the gender, I thought that was just kind of one of the really only perks of the whole IVF process and the whole intrusive aspect of it. But you know, with the failure of the first pregnancy there, it kind of just put everything back into perspective that that's not exactly how the world works. And, you know, we get what the universe gives us. And, you know, we got a successful girl now, and I'm content with what the universe gave us here.
Mm-hmm. And what are you most excited about having a girl?
I don't really know how to answer that question because I haven't met her. I've never been a dad. I don't particularly know a whole heck of a lot about girls. So I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, you will just experience it and then we'll answer it later. And then what's your biggest fear of being a girl dad?
I guess my biggest fear is that I have a lot of fear about it. I mean, I'm not an entirely sensitive creature. I'm a kind of rigid brute. And so that's something I'm trying to fix a little bit.
I think with Nate, it's like, you know, until he can tangibly and physically see the baby, it's growing inside me, you know? And so maybe that would be the moment that it will click for him. Not that it hasn't clicked, but it's like it will change things then, I think.
Yeah. It's so abstract right now. And maybe the fear is that the unknown, right? Like the biggest fear for a lot of parents before they become parents is that everything is unknown and unexperienced. So that could be it right now. someone asked, since raising a girl is out of your comfort zone, which obviously can imply to raising a boy too, what ways do you think this will help you grow? What challenges do you think now that you're going to face?
Well, I mean, like I was just saying, I rank pretty low on the sensitivity spectrum. And I mean, this entire pregnancy has done nothing but expose that. And I like to think that I'm fixing little bits and pieces of that. But, you know, bringing a little girl into the world is definitely gonna push me to bring my emotional aptitude up to par a little bit and balance the hard, rigid nature of myself with a little bit of sensitivity and flexibility. And, you know, it's really easy to pay lip service to and acknowledge that I suck in those areas. But I think, like what Raimi was saying, until it's like a tangible thing that I can touch and interact with and experience, I won't know exactly how I'm going to start to grow and change for the better, I guess.
Mm-hmm. We talked about also the challenges you guys had as a couple through the infertility IVF process. Is there any new challenges that you've faced once you were pregnant through the pregnancy so far? Maybe getting ready for the baby or through just the pregnancy in general? Is there anything new that you've experienced as a couple? Question for both of you.
Well, sure. I mean, the whole process has just showed how hopelessly oblivious I am to relating and understanding a pregnant woman. So there's that whole element.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, to his point, it's like I am constantly reminded that I'm growing a baby because I feel her, or, you know, I'm the one going through it. And it's like figuring out how to close that gap that in a way that feels natural. Obviously, it's not something that I want to like force or anything or put pressure on, but I think everyone has their right to process and come to it in their own terms. And for me, obviously, since I'm with her every day, it's like a constant reminder. And with him, it's like gonna feel more real when she's here, I think. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And through the first trimester, we talked about anxiety that Raimi was going through. Did you have any anxiety at all through the first trimester specifically or in the pregnancy, Nate?
I can't say I have, but I read a silly cliche that will, I think, tie in to what Raimi just said, actually going backwards, that I think will make a little sense, that parenthood starts when the woman conceives and it doesn't necessarily start for the man until like they physically hold the baby and it's brought into the world. And I think that kind of sums up a little bit of how I've felt about the whole thing.
And I mean, every man is different, right? Some men could be feeling it right there with them. There's something called like the sympathy pains that through a first trimester that a husband could feel with the wife. And then there's some men that it's totally normal to not, you know, really connect or feel real about it until they see it, you know, physically in the real world. So I think with Nate and how he is, the latter is more true.
Yeah. And it happens to us even if we feel like all the symptoms, sometimes until we don't go to the doctor and see the baby, we don't really believe it, right? So there is that disconnect through the pregnancy somehow, although the woman is definitely more connected because we feel everything. It's just very abstract until the baby is here. Even if the woman really also, you know, gets ready with birth classes and buys all the baby products, typically more than the men, still there's an aspect that is very abstract still through the pregnancy, and it's very surreal until the baby is in our hands.
Yeah.
And so I totally get it. My husband was the same way, completely much more disconnected through the pregnancy, and then it
changes.
Just begun. Yeah, it changed through having the baby in his arms. But as you said, sometimes men do get affected by the pregnancy. One of the questions was, Nate, have you been snacking more because of her pregnancy or eaten differently?
No, nothing's changed for me.
Nate's super disciplined. Remy, are you snacking more right now in the second trimester like you were in the first?
I mean, I've gained the proper weight that I should be at this point, which is good news because I did lose it in the first trimester. I definitely have more of an appetite and I'm prioritizing protein more, but at the same time, I'm still very much into sweets. So, yeah, since I've got my gestational diabetes test coming up, I want to be a little bit more careful about that. But
yeah, but you're pretty much eating back to normal.
Totally. Like I can eat protein now and I'm able to eat pretty much anything.
That's great. Question for both of you. In a perfect world right now, how many kids do you think you want to have?
I always had the image of two kids. I also always had the image of a boy first. So it's like things can change. But now I can even imagine three.
Right.
I don't know how Nate feels about that.
What does Nate think about this?
I mean, first of all, I don't really put a whole heck of a lot of thought into how things will be in a perfect world because it's not a perfect world at all. So it'd be wasted to think that way. Second of all, I'm just trying to figure out how to be a good husband in a pregnancy. I'm not even a one dad yet. So I'm not really, I'll cross that bridge when it gets here. I mean, not to mention there's the whole like second child syndrome phenomena that's all too common that people kind of overlook. It's like, well, most want to try to have a second child whenever their first one's a toddler. And it's like, at that point, it's like, it's not like you're raising two kids. It's like you're raising six freaking kids.
100%.
You got a toddler. Well, I'm sure Laura can talk all about it. And yes. It's like, it's a super strain on the relationship, I'd imagine. And not that we couldn't handle it, but yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get here.
Yeah. One at a time.
you know what I also read about it is like with the bond with the baby and stuff, this abstract thought and then it becoming a reality. It's like with the mom, you've got 9 months of bonding ahead of the husband. Do you know what I mean? Like you've got 9 months ahead. So it's like even when the baby comes, the husband's just now starting that bond maybe in some cases. And it's like, well, maybe a little patience goes a long way because you did have 9 months ahead of them. You know, in that sense. So I thought that was like an interesting like thought.
And even the natural bonding that you have as a mother, you know, it's different than a dad. Like what our role as a mother, like feeding and holding, you know, it's different and it does happen differently too. It's not like 0 to 100 the day they're born. You also have to develop that slowly. So
100%.
Yeah, it's different for sure. And it's okay to also just take it a day at a time, you know, and let that develop. Okay, someone asked, will you share baby duties? So what's your plan?
Well, of course. I mean, this is a team effort. And I don't think I am naive in a sense. And then also, luckily, I have my two closest buddies that have kind of shared their experiences of like, you know, your duties first off with the baby is not, you know, not so much centered around you and the baby. It's more centered around like you're doing the things to make the mom's life easier so that they can do the baby things. Then it's not till later on that you kind of step into that role, if that makes sense. So, I mean, I'm viewing it with the lens of like just stepping in and doing what needs to be done, what is asked of me, you know, especially with Raimi being type A micromanager, it's easier for me to just kind of be like hands off and just kind of do what I'm told at the outset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is your plan for taking care of the farm? If you're sleep deprived or with a baby, will you hire more help then?
I mean, sleep deprivation and mental, physical fatigue, exhaustion, you know, hunger. These are things that I'm not, that are not terribly foreign to me. I did spend 4 years of my life in the infantry and hanging out in the Middle East, living in dirt holes and austere conditions. So, I mean, I'm not downplaying the whole situation of raising a kid, because again, I go back to my two buddies that had the same experiences, and they talk about, you know, the same, you know, stressful situations, but it's not something that we can't handle. I can handle the farm, get it set up in a way that no more harm that will be done on it, while I can tend and prioritize my life.
And something to note too, it's like, this is temporary, you know, this newborn stage where you are sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. What lasts how long?
It depends on the baby. It really does. But yeah, it could be a couple years.
6 months. Okay, a couple of years.
You never know. You never know. Yeah.
You never know, I guess. But it does get, maybe not easier,
yes,
but
it does. Yeah.
I mean, and it's always changing.
Yes.
But I think in the beginning, when we were both brand new parents, it's like navigating those challenges together. And just figuring out a system. Like with me, it's like I could be all over the place, but I feel like Nate's an observer. So I think when he sees me doing things, he might have solutions for me that will help me manage my time better or get my me time in. You know, I think that's where he'll really step in to help me.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you know, Nate got one of those straps that he can still take care of the farm with the baby maybe and give you time, you know, so you'll figure it out. It obviously will keep changing constantly.
I mean, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about anything, but I don't see the whole idea of like letting the baby run your entire life. Obviously, the first couple months where you're like getting on your feet, you're kind of adapting and molding to them. But there is a point at which like that baby becomes a part of your life. So like I don't think I have a problem, you know, strapping her to my chest and going out to do farm chores and like, you know, if I'm awake doing things, she's going to be awake too. And so like, she'll kind of get used to the cycles of our activity and, you know, kind of hopefully get a routine around sleep, I think. And I think that's something that we both kind of agree on, is like including her completely in our life and activities and not like building it around her.
Yeah, 100%.
That's like a great thing too, is that Nate already wakes up very early. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this already, but yeah, he's already up, so I feel that's gonna give me a rest when I need to sleep, and maybe I could do baby duty before he wakes up. That would be, I think, a perfect balance and way of doing things.
For sure, your schedules are already great in the sense of that you can divide and conquer. Nate can go to bed early, you can do the night shift, night routine, and then Nate can wake up early with the baby and you can sleep in if you need to. So that's definitely an advantage. And then as Nate said, you know, you have this lifestyle and the baby comes into your lifestyle. And of course, there's a high need of flexibility after the baby comes, and you do need to have that flexibility and prioritize feeding the baby, making sure baby can sleep and all of those things. But you can do it within your lifestyle. So whether that means naps on the go while Nate is doing the farm chores or whatever it may mean, it definitely is true that the baby does add up to your lifestyle with a lot of flexibility and a lot of accommodation, but it definitely will integrate to your life.
That's true, because like if Nate's out doing chores all day long, the baby has certain times she needs to sleep. And so the goal would be, even if she's strapped onto him, that she's napping. I didn't even think about that.
She could totally nap on the go. Yeah. And then that's the thing. Then she'll get used to napping on the go. Some babies don't, because they never do it. And so that's the lifestyle they begin giving them, you know? So if your baby only sleeps in a dark, pitch black room, it's because you probably did that from the start, right? So they can definitely adapt to your lifestyle. So that's important, and it's great to keep in mind. Is there anything you're now doing to prepare for parenting, both of you together or separate?
Kind of, again, like I was saying earlier, just trying to, I guess, learn how to dance a little bit, in a sense of like being more flexible with my days. I mean, I'm even so much as intentionally going out of my way to do things at different times of the day, as odd as that sounds, like steaming my freaking vegetables at 2 p.m. or something. As silly as it sounds, it's just doing those little things where I'm like just throwing my whole daily routines off so that I can start to adapt to a more like flexible daily life.
He's been doing this, like, he left the farm for 20 hours at one point, and then he went to LA. And so all of these were like mental and just tests for himself to see how things ran without him being there, because he knows he will be spending more time with the baby and with me. So those are little things. And I feel like the animals are your biggest teachers for flexibility too, because they are just, you cannot control them. And you've been learning this lesson since you moved here and got animals.
Yeah.
Raimi always talks about traveling with her and doing the things her mom and she did. So would you at some point be okay with traveling with her as well and leaving the farm behind so you can travel with your family and get that experience as well? Or is it something you're okay with doing separate, just having her get that experience and then you stay back with the farm?
That's a really tough question, and that's something I'll have to prioritize and figure out when the time comes, because obviously I don't want to be that. My biggest thing is that I want to be there, but at the same time, you know, I want to be there. I don't want to be the dad that's always working and missing out on experiences, but also at the same time, it's like, this is my life. This is kind of my livelihood. Like, I'm not just some hobby farmer. Like, I'm dedicated to this land. I'm dedicated to these animals, and I'm dedicated to doing these things the right way. I'm also going to be a dedicated dad. So it's going to be a tough juggling act. Obviously, I'm not going to be taken off for, you know, several days on end. I mean, every, you know, larger scale farmer, rancher, I know, like, they're old geezers that are working well into their 70s and 80s, and they don't exactly go on vacations. So,
right.
Again, that's a really tough question for me to answer at this time. Heck, I mean, if she's half mine, maybe she won't want to travel. She'll want to stay here.
But she's half mine, so if she looks like you, she might be more like me. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I grew up with my dad working most of the time, and me and my mom, you know, traveling together and experiencing mother-daughter trips. And those I will remember forever, you know, they were really memorable times. So, and of course, a few times when my dad came too, I loved it. It was great, but he also did not like vacationing. Like, I remember him just not enjoying sitting there at the beach and not doing anything. So obviously, you want everyone to have a good time, and if that means I'm traveling, I have no problem doing that. You know what I mean? I'll have support and help either way, regardless, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What about at birth? Is there a plan for who stays with the animals if you're gone for at least 48 hours, if you're, you know, at the hospital for 2 days?
I mean, that's another one that's just going to have to go. We're going to fly by the seat of our pants. I mean, I've already got a plan lined up where I'm going to be selling at least, you know, 50 to 60 sheep in the coming months so that I can really lighten down my load of sheep so that I won't have to be moving them around as much. I won't have as many cattle, which will be good. And, you know, hopefully with the smaller numbers, I'll be able to have them set. And since we have a good ballpark date, I'll kind of have things set up on the farm in a manner that, like, the animals being stationary in one place for, you know, two days at a time won't have any catastrophic effects, hopefully. But it's just, it's really hard. And I get this question a lot of, like, people coming and helping out. It's just, it's a very intricate and complex system that I have going on out here with all the different animal species. And it's just, it's really hard to either explain to people what to do and have them not mess something up or leave some gate open, or, you know, I mean, half the time somebody might come and they wouldn't even know how to solve a problem. And most of the problems that come up around here, I don't even have like an abstract answer to give of like how to fix this problem. It's like I have to figure out how to fix this problem. So it's easier for me to just set things up where they can't be messed up and not be away too long and get back to it.
But typically with like labor, what weeks can you already start? Like, because you were week 39 when you gave birth early, 1 week before the due date. Yeah. So what is the range?
37 to 42 would be the range. But the average, as we talked about, Remy, is 40 weeks and 5 days is the average, right? So it's more likely to happen between 39 and 42 than that early. So that's a problem, too, that we have to play it by ear. The other positive thing is that I'll be there. So maybe, Nate, if you need to go to the farm, check on everything and come back, I can stay with Remy if, you know, all is going well and she's resting, for example. So we can also play it by ear and maybe do that if you need to. It's only an hour away, right?
Exactly. And also, like you said last time, like 5% of actual moms give birth on the actual due date.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was not early. I was on time. It's just my time, right? That's the thing with the due dates, that we're animals. We're not scheduled programming, you know? So we're animals. We give birth when the baby's ready, when our body's ready, and everyone's different. Everyone's timeline is different. And I was ready at 39. I was not 1 week early, really. It's 1 week early from what man-made timeline, right? So you're going to go into labor whenever baby's ready. And so we have to just be ready by week 37, but plan until week 42. Same with Nate. He has to be flexible there. And that's when parenting starts, right? The flexibility we talked about, it just starts right then.
Barometric pressure.
He said barometric pressure. That's when it's like, that's when the sheep give birth, because it's like
the pressure
in the air when it's like about to rain. They always drop their babies at that time.
Well, there's the thing with full moons too. And so we'll look at the stars as well. How did you guys feel about telling friends that you were going through IVF? Did you just feel that it was right to tell them right away that you were going through the IVF process every step of the way? Or did you have a feeling that you wanted to wait until you had embryos, or maybe once you were already pregnant? How did you both feel about that?
Yeah, how did you share that with your friends?
Well, I don't have a whole heck of a lot of friends. I just have my two close buds, and I told them outright that we were starting off on the IVF process, and it's not a terribly big deal. They were supportive about it.
So you basically filled them in kind of through the process
right away?
Yeah, I was totally open about it, and it was no secret. And I think having the support was nice through it, you know.
You too, right, Remy? You probably just shared with your close friends and family. You just felt better sharing the process, right?
Also, we did a whole podcast on it. So
yeah, we released the podcast later, but yeah.
Well, that's true. But yeah, during the process, yeah, I was sharing it so as to not feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, it depends on everyone. I think whatever feels right for you, if you guys felt like with your close friends and family sharing was better because you feel less alone, then that's what you should do. This person asking is going through IVF and they didn't know if they should wait until they were pregnant. So, you know, I think advice for her is to go with your gut feeling, right?
Setting boundaries in a way that you approach your friends when you feel comfortable sharing.
The way that I interpret this is it sounds like the individual asking the question is kind of fearful that, you know, who she shares this with. Say she gets devastating news or, you know, less than optimal news, these people that she shared it with, she's worried about their opinion and what they may say about it or her. And My thing would be that these are probably not the types of friends that you'd want to share it with. I shared it with the friends that I did because I know that they were going to be supportive and they were going to be there whether I gave them the good news or bad news. And so I would share it with the people who would be there for good news or bad news, supportive. And then like what Raimi said, you don't want to share it with people who are going to be just adding pressure to it and like adding stress to it.
Exactly. Yeah. It has to be because it's beneficial for you too, not just because you feel the need to tell your friends what's going on. Sometimes if you feel more pressure and more stress by telling your friends, then keep it to yourself. But sometimes keeping it to yourself is more stressful. So whatever you feel right for you, be selfish in this moment, I think. Okay, and last question. We know about Raimi's family being very excited and their reactions, but Nate, how's your family? How did you tell them? Are they excited?
My mom will be here for the baby shower. My mom and then Raimi's parents will be here.
Hi, Sherry. Yeah, she's excited to be a grandma, and it's been, you know, fun getting to update her. But we're excited because this will be the first time that our parents meet each other.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, I see her comment on Mom Friend's spot, and so I know she's excited too. And are you guys planning on having both families over as soon as the baby's born? What's the plan?
I think that we're trying to minimize the amount of people around at that time. Obviously, you, as much as more people and more hands might, you know, the whole takes a village to raise a baby. I don't know if it takes a village to raise a brand new newborn. I think a village would just add too much stress to the equation. So we want to keep it to a minimum and kind of get our own groove and routine and going.
Yeah, that way our focus is just creating routine, finding a new normal, caring for the baby in our own little bubble. And, you know, when she's a little bit older, that's when my parents will come, at least I think. I think maybe like 3 months or maybe a little bit earlier. But that will be a good time for visitors. But until then, we'll just be in our own bubble.
Yeah. And obviously there's no right and wrong answer. Everyone does whatever they feel. There's people who love all of their family over. But I agree with you guys, in my personal opinion, just having that little bubble and recovering. And then if you have support, like in the house cleaning and cooking and that type of help, that's always amazing. But yeah, sometimes too many people is a lot for those first months.
Overwhelming, because I can't do any hosting at that time.
Yeah. So these are all the questions. Thank you, Nate, for joining us. You're definitely going to join us again. But it was great having you.
Yes, ma'am. I'll come back.
Okay, good. Good job.
Okay, thanks, babe. Okay, bye.
So that was great. And was there anything that surprised you?
No, not really. I feel like we have been communicating as well as we can throughout this journey. So nothing he said was surprising to me. You know, working through basically pregnancy is such an emotional journey. And it's something that we're working through to connect on better. Mm-hmm. That's just us being super honest about it. Like, he kept saying he's not sensitive, which I think is not true, because I do think he is a very, very sensitive person, with lots of deep, deep, deep feelings and thoughts about things. He may not express it in a way that makes sense for me. And so that's kind of where we have had disconnects and where we continue to still need to work on. But just keeping that open communication, you know, and saying, hey, we may need like help navigating through this to reach common ground. That's okay too. Just as long as we're feeling hurt, we're both heard. My needs are being met emotionally. He knows what he needs to do. And sometimes with that, it's like me just telling him what to do. Like he said on the podcast too, we know when newborn comes, like being specific with how he can help. But otherwise, yeah, other than that, everything he said, nothing surprising. You're not going to catch him, you know, podcast is a little bit different, but you're not going to catch him in a 5 second video clip and get his true deep thoughts. It's just not like that. Like we were saying the other day, you know, I run a mile wide and 6 inches deep, and he runs 6 inches wide, a mile deep, meaning I can look at the bigger picture way down the line, like how are we going to split baby duties and how are we going to, what's home, are we going to homeschool, what are we going to do? And he's just so deep in the 6 inches ahead of him and getting through that and like processing that, that we just see things, see the world so differently, so opposite that, and so you really won't get his true essence from just a short video clip. Like all of his thoughts really happen.
Yeah. And you see the world really differently, but at the same time, you are aligned with the bigger decisions and thoughts. I think that you are completely the same in that sense, yeah. Right? So when it comes exactly. to pregnancy,
our morals and
ethics, and yeah. planning, for example, for birth or planning for postpartum, planning for the baby's life, everything you discuss, it may be in different ways that you do it, but you are discussing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. We see all of that. We're very aligned on how to raise the child and
options that you have. You choose the same things. Yeah.
Birth options, intervention types of views on that and things like that. Yeah, we're very aligned on all of it.
Yeah. So although you may seem very different and communicate extremely different, you're definitely pretty aligned, which that's the important part.
Yes. And I think having a child for him is almost the missing piece of the puzzle to make him whole, because in a way he is forced to be in touch more emotionally in terms of like connecting in that way, which is difficult for him. It doesn't come naturally. He's a very solution-based dude. So just sitting in thoughts and sitting in emotions is not really natural to him, but I feel like through all of this is something that he would learn to grow a lot.
Every child brings out something in us, as we mentioned in other episodes, and that definitely may be a big part for him, which is great. And this is all for today, but next week we'll come back to keep following Raimi's journey, specifically with birth preparation, because behind the scenes, we have been preparing for birth. We've started to. And so we will go through some of the things that you've started to do to prepare for birth, including your birth plan.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a good episode to dig deeper into different tools and interventions I have looked at, and how I am more informed going into birth, because that has made me feel more confident about birth overall.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So birth plans are that, just like a goal and an excuse to be informed, because a birth plan looks at all of the options and it makes you understand the birth options that you have. You dig deep into researching tools and interventions that you may not be familiar with at all. And then you can make informed decisions, even if you put like your goals, which we'll discuss next week, what your goals are. We still are learning about the plan Bs because we've looked at each option. So once birth comes, even if your goal doesn't happen, then you're ready for the plan B. You are more understanding of the plan B, and you can also communicate your goals with your team. And so it's just, it gives you the confidence you need for sure. I love making birth plans.
Yeah, I think what you said about having everyone be on the same page is so important. And yeah, I've been watching lots of labor videos, and it's helping me see the options and what I align more with. That will be next week. I will share everything I am aiming for. Obviously, things may not go as planned, which I'm also flexible. So if you don't want to miss next week's episode, subscribe to the pod, follow us on IG on all the behind the scenes updates and more. Thank you for tuning in.
See you next week.
See you. Bye.
Bye.